Now, it's already close to 12 o'clock. Your religion might have already run out. I don't know. But we're just getting started for the day. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13 again. Paul said, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." We have been looking at the book of Ephesians and seeking to find what God would have us to understand. Chapter number 1, Paul begins talking about the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ. And he records many of those blessings. Verse 4 tells us he has chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. The Bible says in verse number 5, He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Verse 7 says that He has redeemed us through His blood, and He has forgiven us our sins. Verse 8 says He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Verse 11 says, "We also have obtained an inheritance." Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And it brings us down to our text this morning. On last Sunday, I tried to impress on you what it means to trust. After you hear the word of the gospel, what does it mean to turn from your sins and to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? But there's a second part to that verse that says, "After that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And then he says, the Holy Spirit that we are sealed by and with is the guarantee or down payment of our inheritance until full redemption happens. Now somebody might say, "Brother Mike, I thought we were already fully redeemed." Not quite. When a person is saved, he is saved. When a person is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, he is redeemed forever. I believe that. But we still live in a broken world. We still live in bodies that are prone to let us down. We still experience, as everyone has testified this morning, the persecution of Satan. We still experience the troubles and the trials that come along from just having been in this broken world, this cursed world. And so we haven't quite finished with redemption yet. The Bible tells us that there's coming a time when all of the earth will be redeemed. The Bible tells us, and I'll bring you to that passage. I wasn't planning to go there as quickly as I'm getting there, but Paul says in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 20, "For the creature was made subject to vanity." That is, creation was cursed. It was subject to endless meaninglessness. Emptiness. That's what vanity is. You see, before Adam and Eve sinned, everything and everybody, Adam and Eve, had a purpose in the world. They had a reason for being, and they lived according to that purpose. But after sin entered the world, everything was disrupted. The Bible says creation was made subject to vanity. But creation, trees, the grass, the sky, the birds, creation was not made subject to vanity willingly, but by reason of Him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creature, creation itself, also, listen to this promise, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That's full redemption. That's full redemption. When Christ comes, not only will our bodies be resurrected, and will we be brought into the physical conscious presence of Christ, but all of creation will be resurrected, as it were. There will be no more curse. There will be no more droughts. There'll never be a time when there's too much rain. There'll never be a time when the blossoms fall off the trees and bear no fruit. The trees bear no fruit. There'll never be a time after Christ comes again when the earth will be cursed, when things will be as they are now. My aged mother, 82 years old, suffers this morning. She suffers because a little tick that she did not even know bit her, did bite her. And she's going through chills and she's going through being too hot and she's got a rash all over her body and she's short of breath. And all of those things, not because she got out and went to a honky-tonk, but because of the curse. There's coming a time when there will be no curse. That is total redemption. That is full redemption. Now, I say all that to say this. Paul said, when you trusted the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'll confess something to you. I like to read old westerns. It doesn't take any thought to read an old Western, and I'm not reading most of the modern guys because they have to be dirty. Isn't it amazing how people always think you have to be dirty in order to be entertaining? The comics are all dirty now. You can't watch a clean comic anymore because there's not any. They all insinuate stuff and fill your mind with dirty stuff. But anyway, I read sometimes these old Westerns, and I'm always amazed at how much emphasis they put on branding their cattle. You know what the branding did? It identified the cow as belonging to somebody. And that's the word that's used here. There's several other uses of that word. But the word that's used here is that you are branded by that Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are branded as one of the redeemed and will be part of that eternal redemption. Now, that happens when a person's saved. I was reading a dear man of God today who, I was reading this just this morning, who wanted to make the sealing of the Holy Spirit and the infilling and the fullness of the Holy Spirit the same thing. He wanted to say, you know, when a person's saved, they believe and then later they're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I read that and I thought about it. He used several references and referenced several Puritans that he said believe that. And I thought about it and I thought he's mixing up two different things. There is an infilling of the Holy Spirit and every Christian should seek that. There is a fullness of the Spirit of God and every saved person should seek that. But you hear me. When you believed on Christ, the Spirit of God took up His residence on the inside of you, and He Himself is the brand, the seal of God upon your life. The presence of the Spirit of God is the seal of God in the lives of God's children. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. It's because you don't belong to Him. So He says, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed. That's really a past tense there. And it's a participle. And it's believing. Having believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This is done for believers. It is it comes along as you believe. The Holy Spirit enters your life. And it's a blessing for now. The Spirit of God in your life witnesses to you that you're a child of God. Can I say to you that's finally how you know you're a child of God? I like the song we sang this morning. I do believe that we need to put our faith in the Word of God. And I do believe there's no arguments. I believe Christ died for me. But I want to tell you, if you believe Christ died for you in a biblical way, in a scriptural way, there will be the witness of the Holy Spirit to your heart, by the Holy Spirit to your heart, that you have believed in Jesus Christ. You see, the thing that divides mankind is whether you're saved or whether you're lost. The thing that divides mankind is whether you have the Holy Spirit or you don't have the Holy Spirit. And I'm honest with you. I'm burdened for multitudes of people who have their name on church rolls and who have been baptized in water who have never received Christ genuinely in their heart. They have never known Him in their heart. And the Spirit of God has never moved in, made a new creature out of them, changed them, and caused them to want to walk with God. I tell you, one of the things that happens to you when the Lord saves you is He makes you like Jesus. He makes you love Christ. He makes you want God. He makes you want to be with God's people. He changes your attitude and your heart on the inside. Do not be deceived. John said, if a man continues in sin, he doesn't belong to God. If you can be happy in sin, you don't belong to God. If you're not absolutely miserable from the inside out. I'm not talking about, oh, I got into sin and things started going bad. I'm talking about from the inside out. If you're not miserable from the inside out, you don't know the Lord. I mean, when you get into sin. Are you listening to me? How many of you folks are married? All right. Let me ask you. How does it feel when you know that you're out of fellowship with your wife or husband? I mean, they're just steaming at you. Or you're steaming at them. And you just don't have that closeness. You don't have that sweetness and that trust and that love and that desire to be around one another. Is that an outward thing? Is that because the cow went dry? Is that because the car wouldn't start? Is that why you're steamed at your wife? And is that why you feel so miserable on the inside? Now, all those things may happen, but that's not where the misery is. I'll tell you what, I've been on the outs with my wife at times, and I was miserable on the inside, and if the car wouldn't start, or whether if the car did start, that didn't make me happy. Well, I'm trying to use an illustration here. It's the same thing with Christ. If you love your wife or if you love your husband, when there is a break in there, that's inward and you know it. And there's a misery until there's a coming back together. And the reason is because you're one. Hey girls, when you marry a man, you become one with them. Hey guys, when you marry a woman, you become one with her. And it doesn't matter how much you wish it was something else. That's what you are. You are one with them. And you can't be on the outs with yourself and be happy. And she's part of yourself and he's part of yourself. And you can't. And when a person comes to Jesus Christ in genuine biblical faith, they absolutely cannot live in sin because the Spirit of God is grieved. And when the Spirit of God is grieved, there is turmoil on the inside of a Christian because that Christian has an inward relationship with Christ. And that inward relationship is now not broken. The relationship's not broken, but the fellowship is broken. Again, I use the illustration of marriage. When you folks are on the outs with one another, the marriage is not null and void. I mean, you can't say, well, okay, I'm mad at you, we're not married anymore, and just walk off. You can't do that. But I'll tell you what, once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you start trying to walk off from Him, you can't do that either. If God makes you one with Christ, You have the Holy Spirit. And you cannot get away from Him. That's the point. All through the Scriptures, men who forsake Christ and take off after the world and can be happy in the world are depicted as lost men. They're not laid out as just backsliders. You know, we have this false doctrine in our Baptist churches today where we say a man comes and he makes a profession of faith and then he might stay 6 months or a year and he's out and gone and he lives like sin and hell itself for years and years and years, and we try to say, well, he's saved, he's just backslid. And as they used to say in that old country Baptist church in North Carolina I'm from, he never did slide up. You can't backslide if you've never been slidden up. He's not backslidden, he never knew Christ. The Lord Jesus causes you to hate sin and want to be out of sin. Our flesh loves sin. See, listen to me. That's why I know redemption's not completely through yet. There's coming a time when all sin's going to pass away and we're going to rejoice that it's passed away. He says, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. You were branded. You can't get away from it. The sealing also had to do with a legal, you were notarized. In heaven, God claims you as His own. And the way you know He did is He sent the Holy Spirit to you. That's how you know that you're a child of God. Let me ask you to read again with me in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 16. Verse 15 says, but you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. His Spirit bears witness, along with my spirit, that I am a child of God. And there is no getting away from that. You can't escape that if you're a child of God. Somebody said, boy, I wish I had that. Honey, if you've never had the witness of the Holy Spirit, you don't have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't come in you and then lie mute. He doesn't come and not testify of Christ to your heart. He doesn't come and not change your desires and your longings and your will and the things that you love. He doesn't come and not change you. That's the point. He changes you. We've had folks come here who've come, they've shook the preacher's hand. They've done whatever they did. Came into the church. Now they're out yonder in the world this morning. And they seem happy out there in the world. I tell you, all of this physical stuff that you do, this kneeling in an altar, this following a preacher in a prayer, this going into the baptismal pool, shaking the preacher's hand, letting them sign a card for you so you can say that you want to join the church. All of this stuff that we do in churches today to affiliate ourselves with the church is not salvation. That's not salvation. You can be saved out yonder on the backside of the field. Many people have been saved in church altars. But you can be saved going down the road in your car. You can be saved at home. You can be saved anywhere because salvation has to do with the Spirit of God dealing with your heart, showing you that you're lost, that you need a Savior, drawing you to Christ, and enabling you to close with Christ so that you believe that He is your Savior, that He died for you, that you deserved to die, but He died in your place, and you close with Him. You trust Him. That's what believing on Christ means. And your life is committed to Him forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'll tell you, when that happens, the Bible says God notarizes you. Okay, there it is. Sealed forever. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then the Bible says, which is the earnest or the guarantee of our inheritance. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of what's coming on our inheritance. Back in Romans chapter 8, I love how the Bible comments on the Bible. Back in Romans chapter number 8, the Bible says when we're saved, we become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance in Christ. For a child of God, whether you know it or not, everything is in Christ. Everything else is going to be destroyed. You can worry about whether you have an inheritance here or not. You can complain about whether your parents are going to leave you any money or not. You can worry about whether you're going to be set up for life or not. You can worry about your 401k. You can think about all those things all you want to, but for a genuine child of God, hear me closely, our inheritance is in another world. Our inheritance is for another age, and that's where it's going to count. Our inheritance is not in this world. That's why people who are saved, who love Christ as much or more than the saved people sitting in this building, are living this morning in squalid huts with dirt floors, and we wonder, why doesn't God bless them? He has blessed them. The world's not worthy of them. There is an inheritance laid up for them. And that's where their inheritance is. That's why when our world falls apart around us, genuinely saved people can just pick up and dust themselves off and go on by the grace of God, because this world's not what counts. This is not where my inheritance is. I have one laid up for me, the Bible says, in heaven, and if you're saved, you do too. And here it is, the Spirit of God is the guarantee of that. So listen now, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't have any guarantee of an inheritance in heaven. If you don't have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in you, the Holy Spirit of God living in you, you have absolutely no hope of salvation hereafter. None. Because the Holy Spirit is God's down payment. That's the guarantee. It's the earnest. That's what earnest money is. I'm going to buy a piece of ground from Johnny. And I say to Johnny, look, Johnny, I know you've got this acre of ground for sale over here. And I want to buy it. And I will give you $12,000 for that acre of ground. Boy, ground's gone up, hasn't it? I'll give you $12,000. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you earnest money. I'm going to give you $2,000 to hold it until I go make arrangements to get the rest of it paid for. And Johnny says, okay, I'll take that as earnest money. And then if I go and don't make arrangements, I'll lose the earnest money. But I go and I make the arrangements, and then I come back, and on a day appointed, I come to Johnny with the $10,000 that's owed, the rest of it, and I give him all the rest of the money that I promised him that I would give him. And he signs the deed over to me. That's the Holy Spirit. He is the guarantee. You see, heaven, I believe in streets of gold, and I believe in pearly cities, and I believe what the Bible says about all of those things, but you hear me closely. Heaven is Christ. Heaven is glorying in Christ. Heaven is the fullness of Christ. Heaven is more and more and more and more and more and more of God. That's what heaven is about. And the reason that doesn't excite you, dear friends sitting here this morning that don't care about what I'm saying, is because you don't know God and you don't love Him. But oh boy, He says the Spirit of God's given to us is just a foretaste of what's coming. You ever been in a state of prayer? Your heart just lifted up and you're weeping before the Lord and you're just caught up in heavenly places in your experience. That's just a touch. Your body couldn't hold if God really poured Himself out on you in His fullness. D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, said that he was walking in New York one day, walking down the street, and he'd been praying for the fullness of God, the fullness of God in his life. And he said all of a sudden God just began to fill him. And he said, I had to go off, find a room, and pray that God would stay His hand, because I could not stand it anymore. In our fallen state, we can't. I guess Paul probably had one of the clearest visions of Christ since the resurrection, seeing Him in His glory on the road to Damascus, and he was blind for 3 days after that. And there's indications he had eye trouble the rest of his life. The Holy Spirit is just the earnest of what is going to be our inheritance. He guarantees to us that our heart's desire, which is more of God and more of God and more of God, will one day be completely satiated. That's why the earth is going to have to be resurrected and redeemed and brought out from under the curse, because the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, the Bible says. There's coming a day when the glory of the Lord will be seen from pole to pole. In whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the full redemption of the purchased possession. What? Know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your body, the Bible says. Someday, there will be the full redemption of you, body and all, whom Christ purchased. See, when Jesus died for you, He didn't just die for your soul. He died for all of you. And one day, He's not going to be satisfied till all of you is in that glorified state, the same state He's in now. He's not going to be satisfied until that happens. If I give earnest money to Johnny and I say, I'm going to go make arrangements. If Johnny believes I'm a man of my word, he's going to wait until I come back with arrangements. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. What Paul is saying is there's coming a time when this deal is going to be finished. It's going to be finished. And we all will be in His presence. All of us who are saved will be in His presence. Now the question this morning comes, have you been sealed by the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Spirit of God in your life? A.W. Tozer used to say it kind of like this. He said, you need to think about this. You might not want to be possessed by another spirit. That sounds spooky, doesn't it? Possessed by another spirit. But that's what the fullness of the Holy Spirit is. You're controlled by the Spirit of God. And that's what the earnest of the Spirit is when He comes in. He begins to live in your life and be Lord of your life. Jesus, when Jesus comes in by the Spirit, He sits down in the driver's seat. You see these little bumper stickers? God is my co-pilot. I'm sorry, God's not anybody's co-pilot. He's the pilot. He's the owner of the airlines. He's the owner of the airspace that the airlines fly in. He is Lord. And when He saves you, He becomes Lord by His Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? John asked that of some disciples in Acts 19. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed this report about Jesus? They said, we don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit. There are people in Baptist churches who only know the Holy Spirit because the preacher says His name occasionally. They don't live with Him. They don't know Him intimately. But I tell you, He is the vital. He is God on the earth. He is the vital part of what makes Christianity Christianity here on this earth. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have Him. You don't have Him. How do I get the Holy Spirit, Brother Mike? Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Turning from your sins, come to Christ. Trust that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And not just that fact, but trust Him in having done that. And come to God through Jesus Christ, believing you're accepted by God
holy God of the universe, because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you, come to God through Him. And God said He would put His Spirit in every one of us who come to Him that way. Every saved person in this building can testify of His presence this morning. Every saved person in this building this morning. I see smiles as I say that, because you know I'm telling you the truth. You can testify of the Spirit of God in your life. That's the earnest. That's the promise. There's more to come. And it's going to get better. Praise God for that. Father, I pray this morning that You'd take the message. Lord, I pray that You would... Lord, I pray Your will be done here this morning. And I know it's Your will, Lord, to deal with sinners. You died for sinners. And I know it's Your will to deal with sinners. And so, I assert Your will here today. I claim Your will. I thank You that it is Your will, and I can pray this way. And Lord, I pray for the deceived among us. Oh God, You'd open their hearts up to true salvation. You'd cause them to begin to cry out to God. Lord, help us, I pray. Thank You again for Your blessings today. We just give You praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen.